Jason James.
Shooter.
NetGallery.com podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the NetGallery.com podcast. This is a special podcast, the interview of Terry Moore. Terry Moore is the writer, pretty much the man behind everything in the comic book Strangers in Paradise. Strangers in Paradise saw its run end here just recently, and we interviewed Terry Moore to get his thoughts on the project and being an indie comic book writer. Hope you enjoy. Thanks for joining the NetGallery.com. Today we are interviewing Terry Moore. How are you doing today, Terry?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Wrote and drew the comic book Strangers in Paradise.
Yeah.
What can you tell those that might not be familiar with the series about it?
I spent 14 years publishing it in the comic book industry. It's an independent comic through my own company, Abstract Studio. There are a ton of comics and a ton of trades, and it's a story about 20-somethings, ordinary people, ordinary life. That's kind of, in general, how I sum it up.
All right. I noticed when I picked this up here that you're both the writer and the artist for it. Is that easier, working just basically having total freedom to do and not having to work with someone else on it?
Well, I suppose in a way. I mean, it's just more natural for me to do both at the same time is just how I grew up, you know, doing comics. So I call it cartooning. A cartoonist is an artist who thinks. So it's just a natural process for me.
That's an apt explanation.
Yeah.
Can you give us any light on inspiration for the main characters and where they came from?
Well, do you have anybody in mind?
Well, I personally, my personal favorite was obviously Kachu and Francine. Although Jason James and I had a little argument last night about who the main character was. He, of course, believed it was Kachu, and I believed it was Francine. So maybe you can settle that bet for us.
Well, I thought that when I started, I thought I was writing a book about Francine and her friends. And once I got into the story, I realized it was really about Kachu and her friends. So I think probably Kachu wins hands down.
Oh!
That's a free meal for me, thanks.
Dang, oh my.
Kachu is the one who is always mentioned and always, she's the number one sketch request and all that kind of stuff. So she's clearly the star of the series. And it's funny, you know, she kind of took over just through the power of her own personality, individualism. So, and that, there really is no prototype for her. It's she's just a composite of all the street savvy girls I knew when I was growing up, really.
Okay, well, hey, I actually, I've got a little question about her. I kind of noticed, well, she hates clocks, for one thing. Anything that ticks or rings, and she's ultimately destructive at it. I mean, like, near the beginning here, she whips out the gun and blasts the, you know, the alarm clock there, and you know, even in the graphic novel format, you go on, holy crap, you know, what is going on here? You know, she doesn't just pick it up and chuck it across the room or smack it. She, you know, pulls out a revolver and blasts it. Was there, you know, just she's that angry a character, or was there something else being said here about just her over-the-top just destruction of the inanimate objects?
In the very beginning of the series, the story, we have several moments like that. And she's, for her personally, it's the clock is a reminder that the clock is ticking, that her past is going to catch up with her. And she has a dream about, a similar dream like that in issue two of the, somewhere either the miniseries or the regular series. But it was really, the clock is a metaphor for the sins of the past coming back to get her, and time is running out. She knows that it's just a matter of time before the people that she's running from are going to catch her.
Ah, well, thank you. That was my one just really glaring thing I needed to know, because I hate clocks too, but, you know.
Yeah, I do too.
What was your target audience for the series?
Actually, my entire target audience was me.
Well, hey, good times.
Yeah, I was looking for this story to read. I was looking for something like this I could read, and I couldn't find it, so I really started writing it and doing it for myself. And to this day, I still can't find other comics like it where, you know, that have that kind of story combination. The only other place I can find stories like this is in, detective genre fiction or something like that. So, really, I was just writing for myself, and I was really surprised when other people liked it, too. And especially such a wide demographic of people. I have readers from the ages of 14 all the way up to 64. So, that surprised me. I didn't expect that.
Well, I honest, my introduction to it was Jason James here handing me the book and saying, hey, you know, we've got an interview coming up. I'd like you to be in on this. Can you read this? And I was like, okay. And I just sat down in one sitting. You plowed through the entire volume one here. And I was like,
and
wow.
Volume two.
Was it volume two as well?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. And, of course, immediately caught me. And both Jason James and I are both big superhero comic fans. And so it actually surprised me that I was actually that drawn into a series without, you know, the superheroes and the superpowers, and was just, you know, so just strange circumstances, but normal kids, normal people.
And, you know, it's kind of the same way for me. I mean, I grew up reading superhero comics when I was a kid. And then when I got to be a teen and older, I was reading all the alternative stuff. And so when I ended up making comics myself, it was kind of a strange mix, a blend of the two. You know, I'm not, Paradise is not, you know, you can't find it at Marvel Comics, but you would never find it at Fantagraphics either. So it's always been kind of a strange middle ground between the two genres.
Hey, this series has won several awards, such as like the Reuben Award for Best Comic. And what is it like for your work to get that kind of recognition?
You know, it's nice the night that you win an award, but the next day it's ancient history. Winning an award doesn't help. I don't know if it really helps the reputation of the book, or it certainly doesn't help you get new readers or anything. But it is a way of the industry saying, you know, we recognize that you're doing something and you're not invisible. And, you know, it's just kind of your peers saying, here's a tip of the hat, you know. And that's nice. I really like
you don't think that you winning these awards brought in any readers that wouldn't have otherwise caught it?
No, I don't think so. I've never heard anybody say they tried a book because it won an Eisner or something, you know. It's usually just off a recommendation of friends. It's usually when people try a book or the retailer, you know. It's nice to have a list of credentials if you've got them, but I don't know. I've never really personally experienced somebody coming up and saying, hey, I was reading an Eisner award list, saw you on it, I thought I'd give your book a try, and nobody's ever come up to me and said that.
Okay. It's good for me to know.
Now, when you sit down to write an issue, do you have a sequence you follow, or do you write the story first and then pencil it, or do you have like a format you follow?
Well, no, I tend to write a script first. I write using a script format, and I just pretend like I'm writing a 30-minute TV show. So when I finish writing an issue, that's what it looks like. It looks like the script for, you know, 2.5 minutes or something. And then I sit down and draw it. But when I sit down to draw it, a lot of times I will change the script. I mean, I don't lock it in. It's always up for re-edit and revision. And that's one of the benefits of working by yourself. You know, if you get a better idea, I don't have to go ask anybody permission to change things. So it helps me work quicker. I like it.
Quick question I had for you in actual the writing process there. It actually caught me a little weird. I was reading it. You're going along and suddenly, you know, you switch from the graphic novel format to just the novel format. You know, there's like two or three pages of just words. And I wondered why you made that switch.
There's the difference between, you know, the story that you can get from prose to graphic illustration. You know, in prose, you can tell the internal story. You can tell things that the characters don't see or know. And because in my graphic novel style, I was never showing any thought balloons or things like that, which are very passe now, I guess. It was a way for me to interrupt or interject some inner dialogue into the story. It also allowed me to show the same story from different angles. You know, it's kind of like if the story was a diamond, you want to turn it and look at all the different angles. There are different ways of seeing the diamond. You don't have to just continually pound away at the graphic illustration, which can get, you know, repetitive and boring, I think. Series is over 2,000 pages long. If I had to draw every single thing in the book and the story, you know, it just would have been, I don't know, I think repetitive. So it allowed me to show what this looks like as a graphic novel, what it looks like as a detective genre novel, what it looks like as an opera, because there's a lot of music in there, poetry, you know, just there's photographs and scrapbook pages.
Was kind of just you flexing your muscles there, showing what you could do here in this book.
Well, it's sort of, but when my goal was, I just want to put all my ideas into one book. You know, instead of having 20 ideas and, you know, half of them don't make it into the book because, you know, I'll save them for another book.
Right.
I didn't do that. I took every idea I ever had for 14 years and put it into SIP. So look at creative people in school. You know, usually they have notebooks that they're doing that to.
Right.
They have the drawings and writing and all that. So this was my notebook.
What was the hardest part during writing of the series?
The hardest part was getting about halfway in and all the readers had become familiar with the characters, and the character definitions were becoming very strict. And the more deeper I got in the story, the less I could play and play around with the characters, because the readers were expecting, you know, you kind of paint these boundaries and these set of rules for your book, and the readers start to rely on them. And gradually you paint yourself into a corner. You know, you can only do certain things with Pikachu or Francine or the characters, you know. Look at Batman. Batman's down to 3 stories now. So, same thing.
I guess earlier when I asked about the target audience, I noticed there was some language that was censored out of certain parts. Was that self-censoring or was that
enforced?
Enforced, yeah.
That's me self-censoring myself and enforcing myself to do it. When I started, I felt a lot more freedom to write and put in what I wanted. But after several years of doing the series, I really wanted to break away from the cult following that you would find on alternative books, you know, books that have, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 orders an issue. So I really didn't want to be one of those kind of books. I started, you know, honing off the edges that would end up putting me under the counter in a triple X box, things like that.
Yeah. Strangers in Paradise has been a part of your life for so long. Is it hard to close the door on that kind of project?
Yeah, it is. I think I'm still trying to figure it out. I ended about 3 weeks ago, and I just took about 2 weeks to just, you know, run wild and do a bunch of traveling. But now I'm back in the studio, and I keep expecting that I'm going to have to sit down tonight and start writing issue 91. But I just, you know, I don't. So one of the things that I'm doing to help me break away from it is I accepted 13 commissions, different art commissions, and everybody had a different request. By drawing these different commissions, you know, it'll help me put my mind in on other characters and other things, kind of break away instead of just drawing, you know, I spent 14 years drawing the same characters, so.
Right, take a little break.
Exactly. Like right now on my drawing board, I have a picture of John Carter, a man from Mars, on there, so I'm working on that.
Oh, good times.
A bunch of Martians and Frazetta babes struggling for their life in one big chaotic. So that's a nice change of pace.
Sure.
What changes, if any, would you have made along the way?
Well, one thing that's hard, you know, I look at it now as like I spent 14 years making a book. The problem is that, you know, if you look at each issue as if it was a chapter, I was publishing my chapters every time I wrote one. In and came up with another idea or saw a problem with continuity, I can't go back and retrofit it because that stuff's out there already. So after, you know, 14 years of issues, you know, there are a lot of continuity problems or things I could have gone, wish I could have gone back in and forecast more. So that's just, you know, the nature of the beast.
Right, right. Can't
I think that's kind of what that's what keeps Strangers in Paradise, the final collections, that's what keeps them from really being graphic novels in my eye, because it's really a collected series. So you just have to allow for those kind of things when a series happens. If it was a graphic novel, it would have been planned and thought out from beginning to end, you know? It would, a story that makes sense.
Well, we touched on this a little bit earlier, but, where do you think non-superhero comics fit in today's comic book market? Where do you think the non-superhero comics fit in today's comic book market?
Oh, gosh, it's...
I know, we get deep here sometimes.
It's not a good time to be a non-superhero comic right now, actually. If you're going to stay in the direct market, I have noticed that... as far as graphic novels go, that the bookstores and the mainstream press, they're really impressed with the independent graphic novels, you know, the independent stories and memoirs, American-born Chinese and Fun Home and all that. You know, you don't see a Spider-Man collection making Time Book of the Year. So it's really two different markets. You have to... about this the other day, you really have to decide which book industry you want to work in. Do you want to work in, you know, the mainstream book industry, or do you want to be in comics? Because those are two different audiences. And, you know, I think that the age of the self-publisher making his own hero and all that, there was a nice window open for people like that in the 80s and 90s, and it's not there right now. There's no longer really a self-publishing movement, or it's very tough to get your book out and get it noticed because there's really only one main distributor and you don't have all the different media magazines. Where I can see those people go now is the Internet. And so they're still having a lot of fun and everything. It's but whether or not they can get their presence known on the walls of a comic book store, that's a real uphill battle right now.
That's a little disheartening.
I think you'd have to, if you're just coming into the business and wanting to do something on your own, you have to not look at what was done in the past, like not look at where Stranger's Paradise and Bone and Cerebus came from. You have to look at now and decide what you want out of the internet and, you know, whether you want to make a series or a graphic novel. And if you make a graphic novel, you have a lot of choices. If you make a series, you're going to be trying to go for direct market, so you're going to have to, you know what that entails. So I just think it's a new set of rules, and we're kind of between movements. I think probably somebody super talented can come along and start some new routine. That's how it works, you know. But I don't see it happening right this second.
I had read that the attacks of 9/11 had changed your story some. Can you kind of give us an idea of what that meant?
Give us a little more info.
Yeah, before 9/11, I had an ending. I thought I knew where the story was going to end and how it was going to end. And, you know, for about the first, how many issues was that? Maybe 45 issues or so before 9/11. There was just an awful lot of anger in Strangers in Paradise. A lot of
yes.
as you get past like the second book and get into books 3 and 4, there's a lot of hyperviolence and stuff like that in there. Just a very sharp-edged story. And after 9/11, I just I was reminded of a man who was a Hiroshima survivor, and after the bomb dropped, he decided to dedicate his art to only making art that would be bring people peace and harmony. So I thought, well, grief in the world with all the stuff going on right now, and so I thought, well, I'm not going to add to it. I'm going to try to make my story be something that lifts people's spirits. And I decided to rewrite the ending. I never could really figure out the ending until I actually came up on it either.
Did it surprise you too?
Well, the details did. I knew what Kachu and Francine were doing the entire series, but the details of how to get them there on the road trip was what I was always trying to figure it out.
Your original background was in music. How did you go from music to the comic book series?
I left college to go into rock and roll bands because I'd been working in bands since I was, you know, like 16, and I was a working musician, and I did that, and then I realized that, you know, the bands I was in were never going to be anything but local stars, and that's not what I wanted. So I left that. I stopped trying to be in band and pushed over to television editing, starting in the audio studios at television stations, and then worked my way into, you know, video editing and became a video editor, and that led me to being a video film editor, and next thing you know, I had a whole new career, and the music thing was over. So, and that's what I was doing when I decided to try this comic. I was editing.
So it almost sounds like you almost just slipped into it.
I really did. I mean, I've never had, you know, a career plan per se. I just went from one thing to the other, and it's just all kind of been a journey for me. But when I got to comics, I used it again from editing to make my story. And because I just felt like the chips were stacked against me. I'd never done a comic before. I couldn't draw like the mainstream guys, you know, really well, and nobody knew who I was. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to have to throw everything in the kitchen sink into this thing to even try to make it competitive in the market. And that's kind of what I did. So I just used my songs and everything I had.
Used all the ammunition you had.
Exactly. Yeah.
So have you always enjoyed writing?
Yeah, I have. I've always written stories, and I've always drawn, and it's just something I've always liked to do. Always been a big reader. So it comes natural for me, I guess. You know, I mean, it's comfortable for me, I should say. You know, it's something I like to do. I would be doing it even if I wasn't in the business. Just like I'm writing and recording songs, but I'm not in that business, you know.
Were there any books or authors that influenced you as a writer or a person?
Yeah, definitely. When I was 11, I discovered and read all the James Bond books that in one summer.
Nice. But,
yeah, it was really cool for me. But at the same time, I discovered a kind of a young adult author from England who wrote books in World War II about kids, boys and girls, going to school and all that. And she had written a series about English kids, actually girls, going through a boarding school from years 1 through 6. And so you had 6 books to read, and it was the same characters. And really and truly for me, that was my first graphic novel experience. I mean, there weren't illustrations at the beginning of every chapter, and it read like a comic, and it was written to me at my level at 11. And it really captivated me that this woman could write about kids my age, and I would be interested in it, and they had a more fun life than I did, and they had all these cool friends. So the same summer that I discovered that kind of writing is the same summer I discovered, you know, James Bond and how to shoot people and cuss and, you know, throw women out of hotel rooms and all that. And
stuff you need to know.
All the stuff a boy wants to know. And when I started doing my own comic years later, really those are the two Jekyll and Hyde influences that came together and made Strangers in Paradise. You know, it's just a cast of girls who grow up together and have this incredible James Bond experiences. So, in a way, it seems so connected to me, you know. But you look at SIP and you wouldn't see James Bond or Enid Blyton's stories in there, but that's where they come from.
Oh, hey. A little illumination.
So what can you tell us about your future projects?
Well, I've signed an exclusive contract with Marvel, and I'll be writing Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane, and they're going to announce another book I'm working on at San Diego.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a big Spidey fan myself, so I get a little tingly when you say that.
Is there any other character you'd like to work on that you may not have the opportunity to work on yet?
I like a number of Marvel characters and DC characters. I've always been pretty open about the saying that if I wasn't doing mainstream. So now that I'm finished, I'm looking forward to playing around in that area and seeing what I can do. I've always had a desire to write Supergirl, so I've been pretty upfront with DC about that too. Hopefully someday I'll get a crack at her.
Are they going to let you in these other projects both write and draw them?
Well, I'm scheduled right now just to write, and the drawing is what takes so much time. So
right.
If I draw something, then that has to be that's a big deal. And so I'm kind of holding off before I commit to any kind of art job right now.
Well, hey, congratulations. You made it through the main questioning there. You can wipe the sweat off your brow there. Just got the quick rapid fire there left. Mr. Jason okay. James has got them.
You ready to go with these?
Yeah.
All right. First one is current or last book you have read?
I'm trying to think. I've read so many. This is going really rapid fire. Darwin Cook's Spirit, number 6 or something.
If you were allowed to read one more book that you have not read yet, what would it be?
It would be my next graphic novel series.
There you go.
You had an easy out on that one.
who is the most influential person in your life?
That is tough.
You can name more than one.
I would have to say probably my wife.
I'm sure she'll be happy you said that.
One person you would like to meet?
I would like to meet Paul McCartney.
Nice!
And the final one, if you had unlimited power to change one thing in the world, what would it be?
He gets really deep with these.
I would change the war situation around the world. I would figure out some way to stop that.
That's also a good answer.
Yes. Well, hey, see, wasn't that bad. You survived.
I guess the floor is yours. Anything you want to add or let our audience know about? It's all up to you.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the questions and the interest in my work. So thank you very much. And I'm really looking forward to what this year brings, because I feel like I've kind of been in one band for a long time and it broke up finally. And I get to go out and explore and try new things, and I'm looking forward to that. But at the same time, I really feel very lucky that and fortunate that I could work on something so long and bring it to a good finish, you know, that it didn't, that it has the ending it deserves. So I'm feeling pretty good about all that right now. I'm feeling very good about my work and about the future, so things are good. Looking forward to what the year has to bring.
Well, we will definitely be watching for your stuff coming out here.
Yes. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us here.
Well, that's fantastic. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.